que franchement, rajeunir, plus dur, John et Jim.
That's right. You are good.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning. We'll be all up in a minute.
Be up in a minute.
I had the coffee pot blew the fuse, so I had to.
Oh no! Everyone would be asleep during the sermon.
You can go ahead and get started. We got you on live downstairs too. But we'll break up. I'll chase them all up, John.
No problem.
Want to get your coffee, Steve?
Yes, Jim. I just want your cup.
You want me to put it in there?
Okay. Well. Today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 8, and Lord willing, we're going to start with verse 14, actually that would be 13, and go to the end of the chapter, which would be verse 22.
Talk a little louder.
So,
talk a little louder.
Louder, can you hear now? We're not on?
Not on. Well, this is the speaker. Try it again.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
That's more.
Did I get it?
I have to see.
Just go ahead and get with it what you're talking.
The technicalities are not in your set. Well, let's go ahead and stick up a word of prayer. Maybe those read my lips, we're going to pray. Would you like to pray for us, brother?
My mouth's full.
Oh, okay. Chuck?
Sure.
That's a problem. Okay, I guess we're on. Now we're going to go ahead and pray and ask God's choice blessings on his word today from Isaiah 8. To verses 13 to 22. All right, Chuck, Father.
Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful again for your grace and your mercy. Allowed us to come here this morning for this beautiful day you've provided. An opportunity to learn your word and study your word and hopefully share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and I'll start with verse 13, and then you guys can read the even. So we're going to start with 13 because it is connected to 14. In verse 13 it says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel." Inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs, wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward.
And they
shall look unto the earth, behold, trouble, darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Wow. This is a power-packed portion of Scripture here. We're going to have a little bit of fun with it. Let's be reminded that the name of Isaiah means salvation of Jehovah. Again, the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters, which makes it a condensed picture of the Word of God that has 66 books. And all the way through, you'll see grace and judgment. Grace and judgment going all the way through. In verse 13, he's speaking to the remnant. And he says here, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." And then in the word sanctify here means to set apart. And he's telling the remnant, set the Lord apart. Set him apart for worship. And for those that are saved, the same word sanctify also is set the word saints. Because as saints, we are set apart for the Lord's glory. In verse 14, "And he shall be for a sanctuary." Now, of course, a sanctuary for us is like a building, but it also comes from the same word as sanctify and saint. The building is set apart for the worship of the Lord. But notice, he goes in a different direction with the next part of the verse. "But for a stone assembling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel." Israel has been split into two kingdoms, the South Kingdom and the North Kingdom. And it happened under Jeroboam and Rehoboam in that time frame. And they are split apart. And so now God is talking about judgment for both the North and the South. They will both be judged. And it says, "For a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." The word gin, from what I can pick up, is like a metal net. It's a mesh. And normally have four things attached to it. And when a prey comes along, you pick up the net and they're caught in it. A snare is normally used with cords. And what they normally do with the cords is you set a little rope with the loose cord on it, and an animal comes by, and then you jerk the rope, and you catch their leg, and that's how you catch them. And the Lord is saying he's going to have the same thing happen to the North and to the South. He's technically done with them. They have rebelled against his word, and it's now time for judgment. When we take a look at the part, let's see. Something I wanted to share with you on fear, on verse 13. It says, "Let God be your fear." Let's take a look at the best definition I can find for that is my favorite out of Job 28:28. Doug, can you look that up for us? Job 28:28. To get an idea about what it means to fear the Lord. And then Janie, can you get Malachi 4:5 for the word dread? Yeah, Malachi 4:5.
Job 28:28,
yes.
I got it.
Okay.
"And unto man he says, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding."
Yeah, I like that. The fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. And it says, to depart from evil is understanding. And you can have a lot of great meditations on that. To understand something means you go in the right direction and get out of the bad path. If you're standing in front of a car that's coming at you, understanding means get out of his way. You're going to be run over. And if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you will be run over. And that's what we see as we go through the text here.
That's interesting that to depart from evil
yeah.
shows that you have action.
Yeah.
I mean, you know something, but you also do something.
Exactly, yeah.
That's understanding.
To depart. In other words, you understand you're in a bad place and you need to depart quick.
You have a lot of wisdom, but if you don't do the understanding.
Like Solomon.
Yeah.
Well, something I've noticed in the whole time that I've been saved, I've met quite a few people that really knew Scripture, but it was all for themselves, if you understand what I mean. It wasn't for anybody else. It was for themselves, to prop themselves up to be on a high. Johnny?
Kind of this, I guess there shouldn't be a huge discussion on this because I know we're focusing on Isaiah. But does the Bible indicate pretty clearly, as far as Solomon goes, that he did repent at the end of his life, even if it wasn't in time to save the kingdom?
But in Ecclesiastes, if you read Ecclesiastes, what he wrote towards the end of his life, he said, I tried every single thing under the sun.
He knew it was vanity, but it didn't stop him from marrying all those women.
Oh, it didn't. He didn't. Yeah, he'd already, all the damage was.
I don't see any of it.
Oh, all the damage was already done. All the damage of what he did was already, completed.
I guess the question would be,
and so he just, at the end, he said, the best thing to do is to fear God and to, to keep his commandments. And he looked back, I mean, how would you like to be Solomon with all that wisdom, and you're looking back 20 years, and you've violated every single thing in the Word of God. And God says, I talked to him twice, personally. Twice. And that's incredible, and it still didn't move his heart. He still went, in fact, when he built the temple for Moloch, he should have been stoned to death. He should not have lived a single day. He should have been gone. That should have been it. And what happened? And that's why we go into Romans 8 that we studied. The law is weak. The law is weak. And only Christ can fulfill the law and put it forth.
I think what Johnny also might have touched on is whether or not Solomon is in heaven. And I think he is. I don't think he rectified the damage he did.
Correct. Oh, yeah.
He's an example of a believer who can do the wrong thing and make shipwreck.
Mess up everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I read Solomon towards the end of his life, I get scared because he's walking in the wrong path and the Lord says, okay, I'm going to bring this guy up. Okay, I'm going to get this guy down here to get him. He was raising up enemies against him. I've got all I can handle.
Yeah, the wisest guy on the planet, most wisdom, does shipwreck.
Yeah. And the thing we have to remember about having the wisdom, guys, it's got to be in the heart. And if there's one verse you really need to have memorized, and that's Romans 10:9, if thou shalt believe in thine heart. Not in the mind. It's got to be in the heart. Because in the mind, we can change our mind. We can imagine vain things with our mind. Our mind can do crazy things. But in the heart, that's the motivation. That's where it gets to the core. And that's what we need here in America today. That's what Christians need to be, is to believe in the heart what Christ has done. Believe in the heart and have the right book.
Isn't it basically the difference between knowing and believing?
Yeah.
Because you can know God's word, but that doesn't mean you believe it. And if you believe it, then you live it.
Correct.
And you at least demonstrate some faith. Yeah.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, Janie, Malachi 4:5.
Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Yeah, the dreadful day of the Lord coming up. That's the great tribulation period coming up. It's going to be dreadful. The word dread means to be terrified. And I don't know about you, but if you really read the book of Revelation and see what God does to them, and they all believe in Satan. They believe that the the weights, you know, the stones coming down out of the sky is the work of Satan, because they believe the Antichrist, who's on the throne, they think that's Jesus Christ, and so they believe they're being attacked by Satan. And again, when you say that's what we call blasphemy, when you attribute the work of the Lord to Satan. And you can't get saved when you believe that. It's going to be a terrible time. Get into a glass of water and blood comes out. I'd be freaked out big time on that. The seas are going to be destroyed. So, I mean, if we think it's bad in Los Angeles right now with having all those ships out there with all the cargo, there won't be any cargo going anywhere during that time frame. The fact of famine, pestilence. If we think COVID is bad, you guys will see, we've seen nothing yet, what's coming right on the horizon. It is really going to be bad that time frame, because there probably won't be any doctors around to even fix you up. Johnny.
Well, let's be fair, though. I don't think it's right to compare the future to COVID, because from what I can tell, we've already had plenty of real pandemics that have been, that are far, far worse.
Oh, no, what's coming up is far worse.
Yes, but to compare it to COVID-19, you might as well, you better compare it to, what was it, what were some of the pandemics? Like,
the Spanish flu, the
West Plague. Yeah, but over in that time frame, Johnny, over half the population will be perishing. So if we have 8 billion today and the rapture was to occur right now, 8 billion, you're going to see 4 billion, just like that. Now, who's going to have...
Do you think half the population is going to go in the rapture?
No, half is going to die after the rapture.
Okay.
You're with the pestilence, the blood...
No, I got that.
But Johnny, you have to keep in mind that most people you talk to have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's a fair comparison.
They live in their own little world right now, and COVID
is like
Spanish flu. Yeah. What? That's racist.
Yeah, we're trying to get the word dread, Johnny.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Another
part of Revelation I don't like, which I'm glad I won't have to go through, is people will be seeking to die at that point. And they're still their soul will still be in the body. You're not completely dead until the soul leaves the body. Now just imagine you jump off a building and go splat. Your soul is still in the mess down there. And you can still think. You can still feel. And you're now crumbled. And who knows whatever else goes on at that point. Or you take the poison and all of a sudden you just walk over, but you're still in the body. And you can still hear and see. Because the soul. I mean, it's going to be a dreadful time. Very dreadful time.
John?
Let's take a look now at...
John?
Yes. I see the hand, yes.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Just to elaborate on called the Day of the Lord, the Day of Tribulation, or the Trial of Tribulation, or Period of Tribulation. Now, if a day to the Lord is 1,000 years. Why do we not call the 1,000 years of Christ's reign the Day of the Lord?
We do.
Okay.
Problem is, a lot of other people don't. And so you hear that a lot.
Okay.
But the Day of the Lord actually encompasses everything after the rapture, right?
Yeah.
After eternity starts.
Okay.
Biblically. But that's exactly right.
All right. Good one. All right. You're welcome. Okay, let's take a look here. To the rebellious, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Let's take a look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Verses 42 to 44. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. All right, there's two concepts you were looking here. If you fall on the stone, you can be broken. But on whosoever it shall fall, they will grind him to powder. The one has to deal with, I believe, judgment. The other one, I think, is a picture of grace. When you stumble and fall, the Lord's going to give you grace to get back up again.
Like when we fall on Jesus,
yeah.
Believing on him, it's sort of broken and contracted.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah, Isaiah 57:15. A contrite and a broken heart. I like that verse because the Lord says, I, who am high and lofty, I dwell with those that are way down here. And that's what Christianity really needs. That's what we need to be as brothers and sisters in Christ is, regardless of how much knowledge we have up here, we should always be down here ministering one to another. And that's the way real Christianity works. As far as any of the knowledge I have and for any of the stuff I have, my goal is not to lord it over any single person. It's to share it with you so you can rise above your circumstances. So you can minister to someone else and help them rise. You know, whatever I have, I don't place a money value on it. I'm not using it to make money. I'm using it to share with you to help pull you up. And you know what? You guys know things I don't know. And so when we fellowship, I go, oh, how about that? And then I have a chance to pick up and grow some. So when we fellowship one with another, let's fellowship in the Lord and share experiences and share what we've learned in the scripture. And don't ever say, well, John, he's read the thing 100 times and he knows everything. The older I get, the less I know. This book is totally incredible. Totally, totally incredible. And there's no way to fathom all the notes that we have here. We're just actually skimming, but we're having a good time doing it.
Amen.
All right. Let's take a look at so I think we're going to go to verse 16 now. Isaiah 8:16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. All right? Again, this is talking about the remnant. It's talking about those few that are still being discipled by the Lord. And he says here, bind up the testimony. Bind up the testimony. The testimony, I've got a few scriptures here. I think we should just try to hit if you want to write down for notes to look at, Exodus 16:34 talks about the testimony. Chapter 24:16 and verse 21 talks about the testimony. And I think let's take a look at 31:18. Exodus 31:18. It says here, bind up the testimony. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with them upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. I try to, whatever I can, in some of my gospel tracts, I like to put in there that the 10 commandments. We know there's over 40 authors that wrote in the book, but God wrote the 10 commandments. His actual finger, he wrote, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder. That's with his finger. Fascinating. And it's called the testimony. So when we go to verse 16 here, bind up the testimony. The Jews were required back in those days to wear blue on their borders. That's found in the book of Numbers, a ribbon of blue on all their clothing. So if you went into any Jewish settlement, regardless of what color of clothes they were wearing, the border should be blue because it was a picture of the 10 commandments. Well, it was also the picture of God's throne out of Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10. Bind up the testimony. And it says here, seal the law among my disciples. We know that the law is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are the law. Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. Those are the two big things. And here's what he says here. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. I will look for him. When you study the word wait has three definitions. The first part means to identify with. So while you're waiting, you're identifying with the Lord. The second thing it means is to intertwine. And what you do is you take the word of God and you intertwine it. You intermix it with your thoughts and you memorize it and you meditate on it. So while you're waiting, you're memorizing his word and putting it in your heart. And then last of all, it means to expect. So if I'm a farmer and I plant corn, what should I expect after? Yeah, corn. If I plant watermelons, what should I expect? Watermelons. So when we identify with the Lord, we're waiting on him. We're taking the word. And whatever characteristic you think you're lacking, if you're lacking love or joy or peace, find those Bible verses in the scriptures, start memorizing them, intertwine them in your heart, and then you'll see the fruit will naturally come out. Yes, sir.
I just want to say that one of the things, as you read your Bible and learn, it also, you become your own little reference Bible in your mind.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And then if you write it down, when you get old, you will forget them, but they'll be right there waiting for you.
Oh, amen.
And I was just thinking of how impressed I was back when we were going through Luke chapter 2.
Yes.
Many moons ago. And this Simeon, you know, when they brought Jesus to the temple.
Yes.
Was confirming that this prophecy was being fulfilled.
Correct.
And it's in Luke chapter 2. And where it says back here that I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him, etc. And then when Simeon holds Jesus, the baby, he says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation.
Yes.
And he also confirms Isaiah's prophecies, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. And then when he, up there, when we read where it says, many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken.
Yeah.
Simeon said, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel.
And perfect. Amen.
And the sign which shall be spoken against. So it's just that scripture with scripture is, helps you understand the whole plan of God and how it all just unfolds perfect.
For exciting, huh?
Oh, amen. Well,
that's 600 well, years, almost 700 years later.
Yeah, well, if you ever looked at some of the Bible stuff I did on needhope.org/IS, you'll see they're all crowded. And I had a lot of people attacking me on how wordy it was. And I will tell you this, one of the reasons it was wordy like that is exactly what you said there, get old. And, you know, the Lord gave me a bunch of great nuggets, so I made sure I put them in there. And if you was to take any of those Bible studies and look at them, I hit a couple of really great nuggets. You know? And so when I go back over, one time I was flipping through the pages one day, and I came under conviction of my own notes.
I remember I used to know that.
Yeah. Incredible stuff. Totally incredible stuff. So, at any rate, that's the other part there as far as, and he says, I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. There, that's another great study. As I'm going through scripture, I'm doing the same thing. I'm popping these things back and forth. Let's see. Who's got Psalm 27:8? That is one of my favorites there. Psalm 27:8.
Move it up.
Okay.
When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek.
Yeah. Now, here we come to the text, and what's God doing with Israel, north and south? He's hiding his face. He tells them in the Psalms, look for me. They're not looking for him. They're off in a different realm. They're not in the book. They're not memorizing scripture. They're not showing up at the synagogue when they're supposed to. They've created their own Bible, the Talmud. They're doing strange things. And God said, I'm just going to hide my face from you. You're not going to see my face. If we take a look at, Exodus 33:20. Who's got that one? That's a very important one.
I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live.
Yeah. That blows me away. You cannot see the face of God the Father. Anyone who sees the face of God the Father, and one of the neat things I learned from the pastor here when I first came here is that when they were crossing the Red Sea, God stuck his face out of the cloud, and every single one of them was killed. That could not have been the face of Jesus. That had to have been the face of God. Every single one of them drowned in the river. Now, in the same place in Exodus 33:20, if you back up to verse 11, and this cracks me up, it says that Moses talked to God face to face. Now, do we have a contradiction here? And the answer is no, he saw the face of Christ. That's the only thing I can come up with. He saw the face of Christ because he did not die. But when you go a few more verses down, he cannot see the face of God the Father, but only the face of Christ. Let's see. Let's go to verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. You can do your own study on here, but two of his children are named. I'm just going to call the one Maha. Okay, Maha. He was looked like he was a second born, but his name means spoil quickly, plunder speedily, and that was God's judgment against Israel. That's what he was assigned for. He had an older brother who we find in Isaiah 7:3, Seer Joshua, and his name means a remnant shall return. That is God's grace. So Isaiah was already, through his children, telling Israel, there's going to come a time when God's just going to wipe you out, but he's going to have a remnant come back. That was prophesied. So that's what is assigned for. We'll also share with you, which you probably already know, let's see. In 1 Corinthians 1:22, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jews require a sign, not the Gentiles. The Gentiles are looking for wisdom. That's why the Olympics are looking for the perfect man. Okay, but the Jews, their whole nation starts off with signs. Look at the 10 signs with the 10 plagues. And you can go on and on. Moses signed with his arm, the serpent out of the cane. There's all sorts of signs. And I just put down here Ezekiel 20:20. Keeping the Sabbath was a sign between God and the Jews, not God and the Gentiles. It was a sign to the Jews. The Jews require a sign. Verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Look here, Israel. I'm your God. Not the stars, not the moon, not the witches, the warlocks, the whole gang there. And he says, for the living to the dead, Why should living people go to dead people and ask for wisdom?
Right.
That'd be like me going to my my Snoopy doll. Okay, Snoopy, what do I do today? Press my paw. Ching! Yeah, exactly. And they don't realize it, but the communication, if they get any, is devils. Johnny.
Wasn't it, I'm just reminded of the original Disney Mulan movie, where they, so that they did that directly.
Yeah.
They were directly worshiping their dead ancestors.
Yeah. Dead as can be. Guys, they're in darkness.
Sound like the Mormons.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were going to people who were supposed to have familiar spirits so they could communicate with the dead. And
but they made these idols and then they use those, they worship them and talk to them.
They're talking to nine. Yeah. But in this case, it's talking about the
dead
wizards.
Yeah.
It's like wizards that peep and mutter. And that's what the difference between idol worship and this is that the idol, I mean, you're just looking at a dumb, stupid piece of rock or stuff or wood or whatever. In this case, it really is very effective if you don't have any discernment, because they learn how to read you and to say things that will get you to believe them.
Correct.
And even if they're frauds, they are leading you into believing that, so that opens you up to spiritual deception. Mm-hmm. But in some cases, I believe they really are, you know, talking to devils and just dangerous stuff.
That's a real scary. But you need to be aware of it, because it's out there.
Yeah.
It is out there, and you need to be filled with the Word of God.
Amen.
That's the big difference. And verse 20, to the law. Again, we're talking about the Genesis through Deuteronomy, to the law and testimony, the Ten Commandments. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. No light whatsoever. A couple of scriptures I should be familiar with. Psalm 119, verse 105. And Psalm 130.
That's 2 minutes, John.
Yep. So just look those up. One is the entrance of thy word giveth light. The entrance of thy word. And the other one, the word is light unto my path. A light, a lamp unto my feet. All right. Huh?
What was this again?
Psalm 119, verses 105 and 130. And then, since we already did Isaiah 2:5, it says here, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. What is the light of the Lord? The Word of God. Every one of us here has the ability to walk in the light of the Lord, because it's the Word of God. And then let's go to the final part here, 21:22. And this is what happens when you reject the Word of God and you don't spend any time with the book at all. And they shall pass through it, hardly be sad and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. I imagine looking upward, they're probably shaking their fist.
You, astrology.
Yeah.
They look up the stars rather than falling.
Yeah,
upward.
Perfect. Exactly. And they shall look under the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. You know, when you don't have the light, guys, the only thing you can go into is darkness. And it's no fun. A couple of times we've been at Mammoth Caverns, we've been where they take you down 500 feet below and they turn out the lights. And honest to goodness, you cannot see your hand whatsoever. There's no spark of light down there. And they used to tell the stories of people that walk away that they never found. And they don't tell them anymore because they don't want anyone to get scared. But there are people walk off the path and kapow. They don't find them anywhere. There's no light. And then all you hear are sounds. And you hear dripping and things fluttering around. And you don't have any way to get back because you have no light. And I'll leave you with this. Since our last phrase is driven to darkness. My family enjoys Star Trek. Okay. So I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you with this because they're driven into darkness. Darkness, guys. If you look at Isaiah 45, well, the last verse is there. God says, I create darkness. So when you go to verse 2 of Genesis 1:2, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. There was darkness before, let there be light. God says, I create darkness. The darkness was created, I believe, to hide his face when Lucifer moved the covering. All right? So I'm going to leave you with this. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Earth. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the old ship of Zion to evangelize new strange worlds.
Henry. Oh, sorry, hold on. All right, I'm later. We'll see you today. Go get your...